Welcome to our worship today from the Peninsula Churches. We'll all have been touched by the ongoing tragedy in Turkey and Syria, and so I'm going to begin today's service with a prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts are moved by the effects of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. The grief felt by families who have lost loved ones or await news of loved ones is just unimaginable. We turn to you, God of all comfort, and ask that you be close to the people in the days ahead, that they might know your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord God, we pray for those who have lost their homes or have moved to safety away from tall buildings. Please keep them warm in the midst of this harsh winter and provide all they need. We pray especially for children who are confused and frightened by what is happening. May you be for them an oasis of peace in which to take shelter. Lord God, we thank you for the swift action of those who are already responding, for the rescue team searching for survivors. We ask for endurance and resilience. For those providing temporary shelter, we pray for the swift delivery of equipment. And for all those in communities offering comfort and help to their neighbours, we pray that you give them selfless compassion. And Lord, we pray for the world leaders as they decide how to respond. We pray that you stir each of our hearts in generosity towards the people of Turkey and Syria. And so for our call to worship, I've chosen a few lines from 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Let us worship our God.
Now let us pray. God, is that how we should open our prayer? How should we address you? Heavenly Father, Mother, Creator, Lord. Let's stick with God. God, today we join as your people, gathered together, although we are apart. We share in your church here online. And we come in awe and wonder, as well as humility and bewilderment. We thank you for entrusting us with the incredible work of your hands that gives us the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. We thank you for the gift of uniqueness that you have given to us all, making each of us us. God, when we have forgotten how lucky we are for all these things, we're sorry. Sorry when we've messed up the planet or messed up a friendship or relationship or some work. We're sorry. And in a time of quiet, we bring to mind the things we have and have not done, the words said and left unsaid, not only in the hope of your understanding and forgiveness, but also seeking clarity for where to go from here. Lord God, we bring to you our many thoughts and feelings as we worship you. Our thoughts of all that's going on in our world, particularly in Syria, Turkey. We think on all those things going on in our own land, in our own communities, in our own families, and our lives. God, we thank you for listening. We thank you for caring. And we thank you for guiding. Thank you, God. Amen.
Today's reading is from Mark 7, reading from verse 24 to verse 37. Jesus' ministry beyond Galilee. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this point, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it, People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Amen.
In some of our Old Testament scriptures and Psalms, we can read that people are venting their spleen at God when there is a crisis or a disaster, expressing despair, shouting, complaining. And these scriptures almost give us permission to rant at God at times instead of praising him, to express our bewilderment, to try and rationalise what has happened, which of course we won't be able to do. And we are reminded of this in Proverbs 3, where we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know." This week, everyone will have been thinking about the earthquakes in Turkey and in Syria and the enormous need for assistance and support. Food, shelter, water, healing, medicines. Offering comfort, if that is at all possible, in the most unimaginable devastation. Children and babies being pulled out of the rubble, leaving behind their parents and siblings who have died. Mothers and fathers calling for their children who are still somewhere under the rubble days after the earthquake has taken place. Hoping they might be alive, but knowing in their hearts that they are probably not, but just not understanding what is going on. No food, no water, and freezing cold temperatures. People lost and bewildered. People who need help. Many countries have responded by sending aid as well as search and rescue teams to the disaster areas, there to meet the need as much as they can. No question about the background, race, colour, creed of either the person who needs help or the person who is offering it. There is a need and it should be met. Now in today's reading from Mark, we see Jesus meeting the needs of a distraught mother and a handicapped man. This is what Jesus was teaching. He was sharing God's love and healing with one and all. And so it is surprising that we read about his questioning of the woman and the suggestion from him that she did not deserve to be helped. Earlier in the chapter in Mark, we have an account of how Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees and teachers of the law who were accusing Jesus' followers of not obeying Jewish laws about ritual cleanliness, not washing their hands in the right way and eating and cooking in a way which was unacceptable to the Jews. Jesus calls them hypocrites and uses the words of Isaiah to reprimand them. Isaiah says, "These people," says God, "honour me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me because they teach human rules as though they were God's laws." So Jesus calls the crowd to him and tells them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into the person from the outside that can make him ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. It's what is in a person's heart which makes him unclean, the evil thoughts and ideas which lead to immoral acts, deceit, slander, pride, for example." Now, as if to prove his point, Jesus heads off into the impure territory, the Gentile region of Tyre. It seems that Jesus is exhausted and seeking some downtime. As he entered a house, we are told, he entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. Even in this Gentile region, it seems, word has spread about Jesus. He cannot escape demands for his healing power. The woman who approaches Jesus breaks through every traditional barrier that should prevent her from doing so. She is a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. In other words, she is implicitly impure, one who lives outside the land of Israel and outside the law of Moses, a descendant of the ancient enemies of Israel. She is also a woman, unaccompanied by a husband or male relative, who initiates a conversation with a strange man, another taboo transgressed. On top of all this, her daughter is possessed by a demon. And although we are not told exactly how the demon affected her daughter, we can probably guess from other stories about demon-possessed people in the Bible that it made her act in a very bizarre and antisocial way. The woman and her daughter were not the kind of family most people would be likely to invite over for dinner. Anyway you look at it, this woman is an outsider. In view of everything Jesus has just been saying about God's love being for all, his response to her request for help is surprising. Jesus actually has the nerve to say as much to her face that she is an outsider. And when the woman falls at his feet and begs him to heal her daughter, Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The children in this statement are the children of Israel, and the little dogs are understood to be all other peoples. The woman is distraught, and Jesus' response is harsh. How could he say such a thing? He appears to be quoting a bit of Jewish folk wisdom, but that does not lessen its sting. And some interpreters propose that Jesus is testing the woman to tease out of her an affirmation of faith. Others propose that we are seeing here a very human side of Jesus, exhausted and needing a break, or perhaps not yet understanding the scope of his own mission. Or realizing that to surmount all the barriers outsiders present to him is harder than he thought. While we cannot know exactly what Jesus was thinking, it's clear that when approached by the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus' immediate response is to appeal to the limits of his mission, his call to serve his own people. In Matthew's version of this story, Jesus begins by saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." When this tenacious mother comes back at him with her clever response, "Sir, even the little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs," Jesus can only agree. "For saying that, you may go," Jesus says. "The demon has left your daughter." Jesus can only agree that God's love and healing power know no ethnic, political, or social boundaries. And so she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. From Tyre, Jesus heads off to the region of Decapolis, also Gentile territory. Perhaps he is still seeking to escape notice and to rest a bit, or perhaps he has a new vision of his mission beyond the borders of his home territory. In any case, once again, escaping notice proves impossible. They brought him a deaf man, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. Like the Syrophoenician woman, this man too is an outsider. He is cut off from the world by his inability to hear and communicate with others. And this time, Jesus does not hesitate to respond to a desperate request, though he does take the man aside, away from the crowd. In a scene that we would find disturbing, Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears, spits, and touches the man's tongue. Spittle in those days was thought to have curative properties. He then says "Ephphatha," which in Aramaic means "be opened." Immediately, the narrator tells us, the man's ears were opened and his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. Suddenly, this man is able to hear and communicate with those around him. Not only is he physically healed, he is also restored to his community. Well, the humanitarian need in Syria and Turkey at the moment and for the foreseeable future is enormous. people and governments are responding with no thought other than to meet that need. It will take years to resolve the housing problems caused by the destruction of buildings. It will take years for some to recover from their physical injury. Many will never recover from the psychological trauma of the event itself and the bereavement through the death of those close to them. We see individuals as well as church groups from Christian and Muslim faiths coming together to act as collection points and offer transport to get aid out to where it is needed, as well as encouraging all to contribute financially so that the right sort of aid can be supplied. When healing the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus could only agree that God's love and healing power knew no ethnic, political or social boundaries. As we look at the response to the earthquake, we can see God's love and healing power in action, once again, knowing no ethnic, political or social boundaries. And so it should be.
Now we bring our prayers for others and ourselves. God, you heal, you hear, you help. And it is in that trust that we pray to you this day. We ask that the wounds of body, mind and spirit may be healed across your world. We ask that you hear our prayers, be they specified or spontaneous. Hear our prayers even when we find the words difficult to find. Grant us patience and understanding to know in our heart of hearts that you listen and will answer when and how our prayers should be answered. And so in a moment of quiet and reflection, we pray for our planet. Today, remembering especially Turkey and Syria, Ukraine, Somalia, Yemen, each place in our world touched by disaster, tragedy, hatred, misunderstanding, war, violence. We pray for our own nation, for all who lead and serve and help and heal. We pray for the communities that we serve. We pray for the church. We pray for people we know and love. We pray for the people we find hard to love. And we pray for one another. And we pray for us. Hear, heal and help our world, we pray. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Father God, as we gather, give and grapple with this day, may all that we offer help to bring healing to hurt, hope in the midst of hopelessness, and peace amongst pain. Amen. Let's continue with the family prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Thank you for joining in our worship today. Today has been another challenging Sunday. So as we go from here, may we continue to look to and care for one another. May we continue to look to God and care for God's children, as well as God's creation. And as we do, may God comfort us, may Christ Jesus accompany us, and may the Spirit in all her wisdom guide us through life's forests. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, we go.